honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, and a little different twist this week, and thanks to that fountain at the National World War II Memorial, maybe a little different sound as well. You know, for the better part of two decades now, I've had the privilege of announcing the Scripps National Spelling Bee on television. It's always an inspiring peek into our nation's future as some of the best and brightest minds put their incredible brain power on display. And juxtaposed against the memorials in Washington in the wake of Memorial Day, it's always a reminder to me of the promise, the prospects, the freedom, and the kind of future so many courageous and selfless Americans have given their lives to provide. The Spelling Bee happens to be the longest-running educational competition in the country. The first champion was Louisville, Kentucky's Frank Neuhauser, who would go on to serve in the Navy in World War II. Until the pandemic of 2020, World War II was the only thing that had ever caused the National Spelling Bee to be canceled. But since it's held in the Washington, D.C. area, it gave me the chance this year to make it in time for Memorial Day ceremonies at the National World War II Memorial. And that's where I had the privilege of meeting Ken Underwood, whose father, a P-38 pilot, was killed in England just 6 weeks before Ken was born.
So when my mother received the telegram from the Army Air Corps, she and her sister were sitting on their porch swing at their parents' house. My mother had moved in with her parents while my father was over in Europe. And the Army car pulled up but went to the next house up, the Millers. My aunt said, well, why would they pull up there? The Millers don't have anybody in the service. My mother said, we're looking for me. And my aunt said, what makes you think that? She said, because last night I had a dream where the heavens opened up and Ken was looking down at me smiling. And sure enough, the man came over, handed her the telegram. The telegram said, sorry to let you know your husband was killed in a flying accident, an airplane accident. My mother couldn't understand that. Well, an airplane accident? He's a fighter pilot. What do you mean? And so that started our life, I guess, as me being a war orphan. That's how I got the name. I wasn't truly a war orphan. I wasn't an orphan. I had a mother. But the idea was that our father left us, was killed. So that's in the book also. And there's one other thing. The folks who put this on here today, the Friends of the World War II Memorial, if you go to their website, Friends of World War II Memorial, and they have Vimeo, yeah. They asked me, I think it was 2 years ago, to do a Vimeo about my story. And I said, sure. So they sent a videographer out to my house, and he said, now, Ken, we cut these off at 30 minutes. That's all everybody ever gets to do, so, you know, we'll kind of be watching that. So I'm telling the story, and he said, Ken, we're at 30 minutes. He says, my God, this is a hell of a story. Keep talking. So it went for 42 minutes. And if they look in there and look for, I don't know how, I mean, somebody at the Friends of the World War II Memorial could direct them. It was in July of 2021, I believe, 2 years ago. And I have to tell you, my daughter was married on April 16th, 2021 in Austin. And, of course, that was her grandfather's 100th birthday. And I said, honey, did you pick that date because of your grandfather? She said, no, Dad, but something just kept telling me I should pick that date. I said, honey, it wasn't something. It was somebody. Yeah, it was him. I know that for sure. How else do you explain? And that's why I say all these, what are the odds? I mean, you've heard about a tenth of them in this story. It was quite amazing. But that Vimeo, if you look it up, if you had nothing else to do, pour yourself a big glass of wine, folks. Well, it's 42 minutes long, but I think you'll find it interesting. Your initial question was, what would I ask him? I'd say, so what happened? His flight leader told me, he said, Ken, your dad was a really good pilot, had him on, you know, as a wingman on many missions. He said, but You know, they'd escort the bombers over to Berlin and back and things like that, and they drop down all the way back to England and shoot up locomotives and airfields, anything they could find, targets of opportunity. So on his, when they would dive down, in fact, his 55th Fighter Group was called the Loco Busters, locomotives, Loco Busters. And he said, "Your dad just get down too low," and straight up. He said he didn't leave him any room to himself to maneuver. And the Germans were getting smart. When they'd see any type of fighter come in and strafe them, they were putting anti-aircraft guns in their freight cars. And they'd open up the door, and, you know, they shoot at the pilot. So he told him, "I want you to work on your angle of attack on the locomotives." So guess what he was doing when something went wrong? We found that out because a Mr. Wakefield was the station agent up there, 60 miles north of where my father was based. That's where he was doing this, near Cambridge. And he said, "Yeah, that plane was buzzing the field, you know, the railroad yard quite a bit. And so something went wrong, see? And he was down low, too low to bail out. What happened? What happened?" That's all. That's all I want to know. I have gotten to know my father better. He was a great guy, a very handsome man. My mother was beautiful. They were, everybody in Topeka, Kansas knew Ken and Alice, you know. And, yeah, I'd like to meet him. I'd like to ask him that question. Yeah. Of course, there's other questions I want to ask, too, but you asked me the primary one. That's it. Yeah, what happened?
Yeah. And with everything you've learned about him and what he did as a fighter pilot, is there a part of that that you imagine yourself being in his shoes and maybe it blows your mind a little bit or it just puts you in awe?
No, I always wanted to be a fighter pilot, like my father. In fact, when I grew up, I still want to be one. And I think that permeated down through me to my son. I'm so happy my son got to do it. Yeah, that's all I wanted to be, too. And it didn't work out. I did a lot of flying, you know, private flying. I used to fly with a guy named Bill Lear, Learjet. Yep. Well, I flew a Bill, and I can tell you that the Learjet will do aerobatics.
You said earlier you encouraged people that might have been war orphans to sign up for the network. What about people who they have a loved one? Maybe it's not a parent, maybe it's an uncle or a grandparent, or there's someone in their family who is a Gold Star hero that they don't know that much about, and maybe they don't even know where to start. What advice or encouragement would you have for them?
I would say contact the American War Orphans Network. We're on the internet. It's like everything else these days. Send in an inquiry. We'll help you find them. We can tell you where to look for records. I'm a senior member of the Civil Air Patrol in Calvert County, and I helped a young man find all the records about his grandfather that he died, and then those records went away, and he didn't know how to go about it. His dad didn't know how to go about it, and I helped him. It meant so much to him. So yes, please have us contact us, and we'll help you. There's another video that you might want to see. It was done by the American Battlefields Memorial Commission, and again, it's only about 3 or 4 minutes, but it features me and my son. When my son was a sophomore at Kansas State, he was still in Air Force ROTC. And in it, you'll hear this kid say how much he wants to be a fighter pilot like his grandfather and fly, you wearing the same uniform and flying the same aircraft. In other words, Air Force and the Lightning II. The F-35 Lightning II is named after the P-38 Lightning. And I told him, I said, "Son, you're going to end up in that F-35 before you know it." He's only 29, and he's already a captain. He turned 30, in March. He thinks he might make major this year. He has done things that you folks have seen on the internet, and I can't tell you on this. But
we're standing in front of 4,000 gold stars, and it says, "Here we mark the price of freedom." What do you think about when you come here and you see those stars?
That's what I think about. Yeah, you know, those stars mean we are here. We're here. We're a free country. They gave their lives for that. I look at those stars and I think of him being on one of those stars. You know, he was only 22 years old. He never got to be a father. He didn't know if he had a boy or a girl. You know, I came along 6 weeks after he was born. One of the men who flew with him said, yeah, we cleaned out your dad's locker and sent everything in it back to your mother except a bottle of hooch that he had been saving to celebrate your birth. And he said, when we got word that you were born, we opened the bottle and passed the bottle of hooch around in the squadron. It's things like that that I learned about also. You know, I never, like I said, I got to know him a little bit as a fighter pilot and things. I would say, if you go, there's a website called MeWe. One of our members of the American War Officers Network posts every day, on this day, on this year, let's say it's what, May 29th, is it? May 29th, 1941, he lists all the men who are membership were killed that day. Then May 29th, 1942, 43, 44, 45. And I think the one thing that gets me really feeling bad is when I see a young man who was killed in April or May of 45. And the war was over in Europe in May. Same thing in the Pacific. You know, seeing somebody being killed in July of 1945, and we dropped the bomb in August of 45. Oh, that just gets to me, you know. So none of those men got to grow up. They didn't get to be, well, some of them were fathers. Some of them knew they were really young kids, very young. But the majority of the boys killed in World War II never got to be a father. I think that hurts.
One last question. If you have anything to add, feel free. Has becoming aware of this, of having all this information, of knowing what your father did and what so many others did, has that affected the way you've lived your life and the priorities that you maintain?
I'd say so, yeah. I'm a pretty straight shooter, old school. My son is too. My daughter is. And, I appreciated every day that he gave his life. Even when I was a little kid, I had a picture of Daddy Ken and Daddy Ernie, you know, on my dresser right next to each other. And my stepdad and my dad, he was never my stepdad, he was my dad. My mom married when I was just turned 3. He wanted to adopt me. And they let me make that decision. I must have been only 11 or 12 years old, I don't know. And I laid awake at night and cried. I didn't know what to do. I loved him so much, but I wanted to honor my father. I was named after him. And so I made that choice, and I kept my father's name. And my son now has the same name. So when I took him when he was in high school, I took him to England to see his grandfather's grave and cross. And you see his name on there too. Yeah. And about my son, if you, on that YouTube, I don't think I told you what it was, it's done by the American Battlefields Commission. Mm-hmm. It's called Lieutenant, LT period, Kenneth H. Underwood, Never Forgotten. And for those of you who have young boys or girls who might think they'd like to be a fighter pilot or a pilot or anything like that, have a look at it. You'll see a 20-year-old kid say, hey, that's what I want to do. And now he is a highly decorated combat pilot. And I want to thank you for asking me to speak to you. I hope maybe it'll spread some news out there, and we'll have some folks get in touch with us.
If you go to hometownheroesradio.com, you'll find links to the American War Orphans Network, to the videos Ken Underwood referenced, and to the nonprofit Friends of the World War II Memorial, which takes such incredible care of the Greatest Generation's legacy there on the National Mall in Washington. Thanks so much for taking this journey with us today on Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you once more that on Memorial Day and every day, freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.